Now, the rest of the story. It was the evening of July 4. Everybody was enjoying the fireworks. Almost everybody. At the edge of the crowd stood a 5-year-old boy. He would jump at the sudden sounds, but he did not ooh and ah, as did the others when the magnificent fire fragmented in a rainbow of colors and came cascading down from the sky. And that night was his mother's first clue that her son, well, that something was wrong. It was a noisy, colorful 4th of July fireworks celebration in a park, and one little boy was reacting only to the noise. And his mother, noticing this, asked if the floral shells spilling into the night sky were not beautiful indeed, and the boy said nothing. His mother, suddenly anxious, said, "You can see them, can't you?" But the boy looked up with a searching gaze, and then looked down again and shook his head. No, he could not see them. Maybe, he said, they were too far away. But the glorious technicolor conflagrations were not too far away. And it was then that the lad's mother knew there was something terribly wrong with her young son's eyes. The boy's father was out of town on a business trip. There was no way he could be consulted. What was left of her son's sight must be saved. Mother would take matters into her own hands and seek help on her own. The nearest eye doctor was in Kansas City, 15 miles away. Next morning, Mother hitched up the horses to the farm wagon, bundled up her youngster, headed for town. The doctor examined the boy, diagnosed the problem as a rare malformation of the eyeball. Nothing to worry about, the doctor said, but the lad would have to wear thick and very expensive prescription glasses. The boy's mother swallowed hard. Their family was not wealthy, but certainly if it meant her little boy might see again, she would manage somehow. So the glasses were ordered. And thereafter, the youngster could see normally, and it opened up a whole world before his eyes. And yet, growing up in the 1880s, with a handicap like nearsightedness, was not easy, especially in farm country. Glasses were prescribed for adults only when absolutely necessary and almost never for children. Expense was a factor, but danger was another. So this particular boy, the one we've been discussing, was subsequently forbidden by his parents to engage in any sports with other youngsters. In fact, any activity which might break those precious glasses was off limits. Aside from the expense, what if a fragment of glass should injure his eyes further, even blind him? And yet the world which opened up for the boy that night of the 4th of July was no less fascinating. Grateful for what he called his new eyes, he looked on the bright side of his restrictions. If he could not play outdoors, he would learn to read. He would seek his adventure in books, and he did. And particularly intriguing to him was history and the accounts of the great men and their deeds, so much so that in time he aspired to greatness for himself. So you might say it all began one 4th of July, almost 100 years ago, with a pair of new eyes. When a little boy missed the hometown celebration of the 4th of July, but thereafter developed, with faulty eyesight, rare insight, and grew up to be Harry Truman. And now you know the rest of the story.